out of pure heart. Amen. Don't sit up here tonight and act like y'all hands all that clean. I know some pig hands and some Newport hands and some, I want to slap your hands and I want to slap your hands. Right, but we're going to let the Lord clean them. Ain't that right?
Amen.
Musicians and say, look, this right here would make a good song. This is what God has given me. I may be able to preach it, but you can sing it better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm turning over into your hands, because that's why most of the time we in churches, we want to hear the word of God, but without music, it gets kind of dry.
Amen.
Like, so you have to set that thing to prose to literary music. Uh-huh. Here it is, David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, has passed this psalm down to the chief musician.
Uh-huh.
Then his words is, I wait.
Mm.
Not only did he wait, Bible says he waited patiently for the Lord.
Right.
So that's for somebody tonight, because while we're waiting, you're wondering, if you're like me, you often wonder, Sister Nettie, does the Lord hear me? Mm-hmm. If the Lord don't answer my prayer, or it depends on one thing this book can say, is how long he waited.
Right.
If y'all like me, it don't take much, amen, for me to get upset when I have to wait.
Amen.
There's a weight that we wait messing with people and messing with messy people. There's a weight we have to wait because we're waiting on God. Now, when you're waiting on people, you can pretty much decide to stay with them or drop that joke and go about your business. But when God got you waiting, God is sovereign.
Yes.
That means God don't have to take no vote to make you wait. He see you waiting. He's the reason why you wait.
Uh-huh.
And he makes you wait until you get strong enough to do what it is he wants you to do. Sometimes he makes you wait to make other folks who can't wait, they're impatient, so they're going to step away from you. And then when God raises you up, amen, you ain't got that extra weight. So it just depends on who you're waiting for.
Yes, sir.
Are you waiting on God, or are you waiting on people?
Talk, sir.
But I see y'all sleeping because the Lord's not going to let me go ahead on the
work.
Have you ever been in traffic and you had to wait? You're going along down the road, it's going pretty good, amen. And all of a sudden, you see that sign, the man standing out in the road with the orange vest on, amen. He got slow, and then when you get close, he turned around and stopped. And you in the line waiting.
Uh-huh.
Now, you can't go until he turns the sign around. So you might as well just wait. Amen. Because wherever you're trying to get to, the people, if they leave, they didn't deserve you when you got there. And then waiting, David said, I waited patiently.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
Especially when you're dealing with people.
Yes, sir.
If you're like me, if I go to Food Line, Deacon Hall, or Walmart, and I look at a line, you know, one of the line, and you see six people in one line.
Uh-huh.
Then you look at another line, and there's one person in the line. You stand in the line with six. You look over there and see the one with the one person. And then you walk over there, and then they got two or three buckets of grass grocery bags. You might as well just stand over there where you want. Because the bottom line is, if you want what you're trying to purchase, you still got to
wait.
But when you're waiting on God,
yes, sir.
You don't know how long God gonna take.
Uh-huh.
You don't know what God is doing in the process while you wait.
Preacher.
But one thing about my God, you do know that
yes,
he's an on-time God.
Yes,
he gonna do what he said he's gonna do. As a matter of fact, while he has you waiting, he's already working on your situation. While you're waiting, walk and swing. Let me tell y'all something. While you're waiting,
yes, sir.
A wait gonna come, Sister Song.
Yeah.
In other words, that's a homonym. Wait and wait.
Yes, sir.
W-A-I-T, W-I-G-H-T,
yes,
amen.
Sir.
While you're waiting, being still for something to happen,
All
of a sudden burdens and wait start coming. And then you trying to process yourself while you wait. You're still trying to look pretty in public, but you're quiet on the inside. You don't feel like going to work, but you keep going anyway. On your way to church, you burn, you say, if they say one more thing to me, because they don't understand that I'm waiting. I'm sitting with the girl walking across my feet. I'm sitting there, brother, you got to need your one more. but you just have to wait.
Yes, sir.
One of the biggest things that taught me about waiting is the hospital. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been through a couple of hospitals, and I know about wait. I know about going to the regular doctor's office. You sitting in the waiting room. Amen. We like when you wait. You just wait. Amen. Sign your name and take your co-payment. Amen. Whatever it is, you got to wait. Ain't that right? But it's nothing like Alamance region. I have been most all over the world, but there's nothing like Alamance Regional Hospital. Alamance Regional Hospital, you can be sick unto death.
Amen.
You go in and you got to stand in line and you got to
wait.
Yeah. And when you get up there, now you got to wait because the person that's waiting on you is fumbling with what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let me take the picture and let me do I'm sick. They're rolling in the back. Give me some medicine because I really don't have time to
wait.
Yeah, yeah. Then they tell you, go back and sit down and wait. Yeah. And then they call. They take you to the triage. Everyone going check your temperature, check your blood pressure, and all that. And when she finished with your Mr. Jeff, she said, go back in the waiting room, man.
Wait.
They sit out there in the waiting room. Then they finally call your name, Brother Cliff, they call your name, and you're happy, right? Because now you're going in the back. You're going in the back and out of that regional so they can send you to that second waiting room so you can go back there and
wait.
Yeah, yeah. Now you sit back there and you wait. Amen. Finally, they get you in a room. They get you a room in the Alamance region, and then you
wait.
Yeah, for another 30 minutes, and then somebody come in, the nurse, she roll the stuff in, she hook you up, depends on your condition, she'll give you a little IV fluid, amen. She'll try to talk to you, make everything all right. But I'm laying, I don't know about y'all, but I'm laying in the bed going, look, I've been out there waiting for a long time. Somebody need to do something. I already know I'm sick. I know what my temperature is. I know what my blood pressure is. I just want you to tell me what's wrong with it and fix it because I'm tired of waiting.
Yeah.
Then after she leaves out, then somebody else come in, ain't that right? And they start talking about insurance information. You sick, you hurt, and they type it. And they want to know, is this your address? Yeah, it's my address. Yes, my name. Yes, I got insurance. You got the number, you got the card. This is the first time I've been here. I took a wave. There you go. Finally, after 3-4 people come in, finally the doctor come in. He come in because he had to wait. Because he had to wait for your test. Yeah. He had to wait until they sterilized wherever you was going in. Because somebody nasty was in there before you that was sick. So they took some alcohol and rubbed it down. So you had to wait.
Yeah.
You had to wait because God knew that doctor had been working for a long time. And he needed just a little bit of coffee break before he came in that dinner with you.
Yeah.
So you just sometimes God fix it where you got to wait.
Yeah.
If you sick and ain't had nothing to eat all day, y'all know I'm not reading. Until they get the test results back, you can't get nothing to eat. You can't drink no water. You can't do nothing. You just land in the bed hurting and
wait.
And if you like me, when my wife them in there with me, you ever had somebody in there with you that blame you for being in the hospital? You had been there. You were there. Wait. With a whole bunch of complaints about waiting. But I say it all to say this. God knows why he has you waiting.
Amen.
Bible says David waited patiently.
Uh-huh.
I didn't stay up here long because I really want to break it down, but I had to get that point too.
Uh-huh.
Waiting in the Hebrew is quality. Waiting is different in the English.
Uh-huh.
Waiting in the English, if you're writing on Bible study night, is to wait until your situation changes.
Amen.
Or something happens.
Uh-huh.
You ain't doing nothing.
Right.
You just waiting. Mm-hmm. We say it like this in church lingo, I'm hoping and I'm a praying.
Uh-huh.
You just wait.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the Hebrew is like wait and wait.
Uh-huh.
Waiting patiently. Y'all feel that way?
Uh-huh.
You wait in the waiting room in Alamance region. You go in the back in the other part to do what?
Wait.
You waiting. So you can wait.
Yeah,
but in Alamance Regional and other things, you wait because they trying to get themselves together so they can wait on you.
Uh-huh.
God already got himself together.
Yeah.
He fixes it so you can wait until you hear what he's trying to tell you. Until he clean up some stuff around you.
Yes, sir.
And then he'll fix it for you.
Come, preacher. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So sometimes
yes, sir.
You got to wait. And just to learn how to wait.
Amen.
I told you, like me, if you're impatient, you don't know how to wait.
Right.
trust in the Lord until I die.
Uh-huh.
Until God don't come in 2 days and you say, Lord, you see me down here.
Uh-huh.
The bill is due today.
Yeah.
The mailman has already ran.
Yeah.
I don't know nobody else I can call.
Yeah.
And Lord, you ain't done nothing about this situation yet. Now I've been going to church faithfully. I've been tying faithfully.
Uh-huh.
I've been treating folk right faithfully.
Yeah.
My Lord, you still ain't done nothing yet.
Yeah.
All I'm doing is down here waiting.
Yeah.
I'm saying you got to wait
patiently
for the Lord.
Yeah.
That's a process.
Yes,
that's letting God work it out.
Uh-huh.
Old saints knew how to wait on God.
Uh-huh.
New saints, we don't know how to wait on God. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Back in the day, my grandma used to come in there and whoop that stuff up and fix them biscuits and put that chicken on the stove. She didn't go to KFC and get no chicken. She started frying chicken and you could hear it popping and then you smelling the chicken.
Uh-huh.
And then you start smelling the pinto beans coming through the aroma of the chicken.
Uh-huh.
And then the biscuits be just simmering, just getting ready to come out the stove. You just got to wait.
Yeah.
But today we don't do that. We standing and we got the food ready. You already had, look, you done went to the stove and bought some stove-bought chicken. Amen. You got some stove-bought potato salad.
Uh-huh.
You got some stove-bought Hawaiian rolls. Amen. And you standing in front of the microwave arguing because there was one other thing that you forgot. You tried to warm that up. Now you mad because you got to wait. You don't know.
How to wait?
How to wait?
How to wait?
That's why people make money off of us because we don't know how to wait.
Yeah.
We don't know how to work and save money. We'll go to rent the owner.
Uh-huh.
We'll borrow money from somebody and go and get because we can't wait on what we need.
Talk
we got to have it right now.
Yeah.
We can't wait as a congregation for God to talk to the pastor. Y'all won't give
talk
us a chance to walk by faith and not by sight.
Y'all,
pastor, I need to know right now.
Talk
well, pastor's struggling too.
Talk
and we
you.
Can't move until God says,
yeah. Yeah.
You
talk
got to wait.
Talk
you got to wait.
Yeah.
You got to wait.
Talk
about it.
That's right.
Are we waiting on the Lord?
Yes, sir.
Patient.
Talk to
you. That's the process, sir. Next thing you got to do is you got to talk to God while you're in the wait.
Yes, sir.
And Matthew, in the lion's den,
amen.
You know the lions were already down.
Yes.
Brother Daniel was in the lion's den, Dick and Terry, because he was praying.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure when he got in the lion's den, he kept on praying.
Yeah.
Ain't that right? But that got him in the pit. So what you got to do is you got to learn to pray while you wait.
Tell me, yes, sir.
Brother Joseph in the pit.
Mm-hmm.
We just talked about it. And his brothers threw him in the pit.
Uh-huh.
He didn't do anything, but he ended up in a bad place.
Mm-hmm.
In a pit. And the brother just kept on trusting God through the pit.
Uh-huh.
Now let me explain something to you. Two things happened. He prayed, he waited patiently. Then the brother began to pray. You say, it don't say he prayed in the text. Yes, it does. He said, and he the Lord, inclined to me, verse 1, and he heard my cry.
Uh-huh. That's right.
That means he prayed to God.
That's right. He was talking to God.
And
amen.
God heard.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what's about it.
Tell preacher.
You in a pit.
Yes, sir.
A pit ain't nothing but a low place.
Uh-huh.
A pit is a place of trouble.
Yeah.
A pit is a place like a valley where you try to do the best you can to get out the pit, and the more you do, the deeper the pit
gets
because
yes,
it's mire clay. Amen. It's
like
sinking sand that
you're
in.
Yes, sir.
So you have to find you a spot that's solid and move around till you get on a good spot.
Uh-huh.
And you just got to stand there and see the salvation of the Lord and
yes.
Trust him that you're going to work your situation out.
Yes, sir.
I wish I had y'all in here.
Yeah.
He said, the Lord inclined to me. I'm just going to walk through the text. I ain't going to say nothing different than what the text said. The Lord inclined his ear to me, and he heard my cry.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That means that when you're in a bad situation,
yeah.
You just turn your pit into a prayer closet. Just go ahead and tell God what you want.
Yeah.
The Bible said that God will hear your cry.
Uh-huh.
He's still sitting on the throne because he's God. Ain't that right?
Amen.
And he heard you, but he's bent over to hear what you got to say.
Uh-huh.
When I'm talking to my grandchildren and they're far away, and especially when they look like they heard or something,
uh-huh.
I don't stand up over them, the towel over them, and look down at them. Papa dropped down on his knee and said, what's wrong with you, baby?
Uh-huh.
I do the church members the same way. My smaller church babies in the church, when they come up to me and they look at me, they stand there at the pool. When I come down, I'm not lording over them.
Mm-hmm.
I kneel down. Because I want to be out of eye with them to know what are you going through.
Amen.
Because, baby, I know you got to wait too.
Yes.
While you waiting, I'm waiting right here with you. Y'all got me
that?
So the Lord will incline his ear. I know you think he ain't listening. This was about, I got
go. I know you may think he's not listening, but God won't fail you. Because he listened to what you said.
Amen.
And he heard what you said.
Amen.
And he's going to hold you where you are to
yes,
handle what he's going to do.
Yes,
and then he's going to make a way out of nowhere.
Talk to
him. Yes, sir. Then he said, verse 2, here, I got to get out of verse 2, said, he also brought me up out of the hall of pit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
That's the one that stuck to me.
Talk
he brought me up and he brought me out.
Yes, sir.
Folk can bring you up, but they can't bring you out.
Yeah.
Some folk can help you get up, but they ain't gonna help you stand up long, but they're trying to stand up too. Y'all hear me now? But God will bring you up, and God will bring you out. What I love about God is if we trying to get somebody out the pit, if it hadn't been me, I said, Doc, stay right there. I'm gonna try to help you. I'm going to throw a rope down to you in the pit. Amen. And I'm going to try to get you out the pit.
Yeah.
But one thing I'm not going to do, what somebody else ignorant going to do, try to crawl down the pit with you. Now, don't you down here in the pit. You get out here in the pit. Now, we both down in the pit looking at each other. Go get somebody. They know how to get me out of this pit.
Yeah.
But the Lord know how to bring you out.
Yeah.
That's all I'm trying to tell you. I'm going, the Lord knows how to bring you out.
Yes, he does.
So while you're waiting, burdens, trials, tribulation gonna come while you're waiting.
Yeah.
Just turn the thing into a prayer closet and understand that in the pit you gotta talk to God.
Yes,
then
sir.
God will bring you up and out of a hard pit. Look at this.
Yes,
he
sir.
Said, up out the miry clay. Stop.
Yeah.
Y'all reading too fast.
Yeah.
When you in miry clay, there ain't nothing but mud.
Yeah.
How many of y'all have ever started walking when it's been raining? You on solid ground for a while, walking through your yard or somewhere else, and all of a sudden you step in a mud hole. Sinkhole. Ain't nothing but miry clay.
Mm.
How many of y'all ever been out there? Well, I ain't gonna tell y'all that. But like President Dome and all them places where you got a bike ride and all that, you go out there with some of that red mud, that red stuff,
yes,
ain't right. You clean as a pig, ain't it right? You step out your car, step over to that red mud. Same way with a graveyard, ain't nothing but a pit. Go to any graveyard, ain't nothing you can't get no. God work for the funeral home. The hardest thing you can do is try to get graveyard dirt off your shoes. But God will bring you out the miry clay. That's the plan to get you out of here.
Yes.
Then says that when he bring you out of the miry clay, look what God will do.
Yes.
God will call channel of concrete, and God will set your foot on a rock.
The
Bible says he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my steps.
Yeah.
He has put a new song in my mouth.
Yeah.
I don't want to move too fast. Now the place is that you're in a pit.
Uh-huh.
And the problem is you can't get out the pit.
Yeah.
God is the one that will pull you out the pit.
Uh-huh.
And he'll set you on something solid so you won't go back into the pit.
Yeah.
How many of y'all waiting to get out the pit?
Yeah.
You're in a pit right now.
Uh-huh.
And the thing about this pit is you didn't do nothing to get yourself in the pit.
Yeah.
You ain't dealing with nobody that'll get you in the pit. It's just all of a sudden you wake up one day and you find yourself in a pit.
Yeah.
And the harder you try to get out, the worse it's going to be.
That's right.
David said, I waited on the Lord and pulled me out of that night.
Yeah.
But now the place is that you're in a pit. And the action is not only you in the pit, but you ought to be doing something while you're in the pit.
Yes, sir.
Let me go ahead on and tell you, I'm going to give you an open book text.
Go ahead.
Verse 3 said he had put a new song in my mouth.
Yeah.
He said, praise our God.
Yeah.
See, the reason sometimes you find yourself in a pit is because God has done some stuff for you. Clinton Memorial. Somebody is in a pit right now. You're not in a pit. You've been in a pit. You're going to another pit. Some folks are in a money pit. The more money you spend, the more money you need. When you try to fix your money, you're right. It burns your money. It looks like your money is catch weeds and fly away. Some folks are in a hell pit. Every time you take the doctor's medicine, I'm going to walk a little bit. I'm going to drink a little bit more water.
Yes, sir.
Every time you go to the doctor, you take your head and your heart.
Uh-huh.
I got to go, and it said that he has put a new song in my mouth.
Yes.
Clinton Memorial, Archie Gold, Max Chapel, and all the other churches. You've been singing the same song for too long.
Talk, preacher.
You've been singing, I won't complain. I know that my good days outweigh my bad days. But I won't complain.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this at the house, Deacon Taylor. I heard you say. Some folks saying, Reverend F.C. Barnes, I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. But when are you going to start singing, victory is mine? When are you going to start singing, like you can tell us,
sir?
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down. I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burdens down. I got to go here. My last point is right here. It says that when you begin to praise God for bringing you out the pit, it says you praise God and many will see it and fear it and will trust in it all. You're not in the pit for yourself. You in the pit for somebody else. And when you come out the pit, you need to tell them God brought you up out the pit. In other words, you got to tell them there can't nobody be like Jesus. Can't nobody do it like the Lord. I wish I had somebody just for a few minutes that would give God the praise. Thank him to let you know that God won't fail. You have to sit back this morning when God woke you up on your sleep and put your feet on the rock to sleep. You might cry last night, and you might have to cry tonight, but my father said that we can stay and do it for a night. But the Lord will come in the morning. So while you in the pit, grab back and thank God for everything he's done. Lord, I thank you for waking me up this morning. Lord, I thank you for putting breath in my body. Lord, I thank you for putting nipples out there. Lord, I thank you for putting clothes on my back. Lord, I thank you for making a way out of nowhere. Looking down at the hole. So let me take you to Easter, brother, and tell you what this is all about. King David was down in the pit. And later on down the road, King Jesus found himself in the pit. King Jesus was in Gethsemane in the pit, crying great drops of blood. Everybody that was with him who said, Lord, I'll never leave you. Lord, I'll never walk away from you. Some of them were asleep. Some of them walked away. Some of them were scared. But Jesus went on to the cross anyway. But Jesus went to the cross. He said, my God, my God, why have thou forsaken me? But brother, he still went on to the pit. Amen. I'm trying to tell you that just like you got to go in the pit to help somebody else come out the pit.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm done.
Amen.
I'm done.